You've heard the statement before, I think. I'm pretty sure you've heard the statement. Silence is deadly. This band, 21 Pilots, to which I'd never even heard about until this week, and then the person that told me about them actually had to tell me they were Christians because I didn't even know that. But this song, the words that they write in the song captures a very true picture of what happens in today's, what's happening to today's society. Is there a possibility, just maybe, are there some truths to this song? Have we raised up a generation of people that do not know how to deal with the emotions that are in the result of that alone is the fact that silence is deadly? Come on, microphone. Have we raised, once again, we've been alerted by one of those news feeds on our phones that the unthinkable has taken place, a nightmare that no parent, no teen, no teacher, or community ever wants to experience. Is it possible that we're raising a generation of people that don't know how to deal with the emotions that are tucked so deep down inside of them? The shooting that just took place in Florida, or the eight others that have already happened this year, they're not just Florida's problem. They're not just the school's problem. They're not just the problem of those that put on uniforms that serve and protect us every single day. They're not just the problem of the community. It's a problem that the church needs to be actively involved with. So this morning, no matter what your opinion is on church, I think we all in this room would agree that the craziness needs to stop. If we this morning are willing to lean into not a lot, but just a few. Just a few very powerful statements that Jesus made while he was here on earth. And just not lean into those statements, but actually practice those statements. I think it has the potential to literally change everything. And so before we continue on this morning, I'd like this house to just pause for a moment and pray for the families, again, that are waking up this morning without a son or a daughter, school that is completely destroyed, a community that's wondering why and what do we do from here. And so would you pray with me this morning before we continue on? Lord, we thank you so much for being a God that cares about everything that's going on in our lives. And God, as we've been scrolling through, watching on TV, God, all of the things that are happening in reaction to what's taking place at the school, we pray you would be with its leaders. We pray that you would be with the parents. We pray you'd be with the teens, school leaders. God, would you give them wisdom and insight? More importantly, would you just comfort them and encourage them? Would you stand with them? Would you allow them to know that you're near to them and close to them? And God, I pray, would you help the church? Would you give us wisdom? Would you give us insight? Would you help us understand? What are the things that we can do so that our young people, so that we, God, can have peace even though we live in a world that is so sometimes seems to be flipped upside down? It's your awesome name we pray in. Amen. Well, Pastor Jamie and Pastor Kelly are not here this morning, and Pastor Jamie is in Collinsville speaking this morning. Pastor Kelly is in Granite City speaking this morning. We've had two teams that are going out for RFK, just sharing with those churches about what we're doing, and they're going to be partnering with us in that. And so we just are so thankful for both of them and want to pray that they are just as blessed. Those homes are just as blessed, houses are just as blessed as we are with our pastors. And so thankful for them this morning. Question for you. I've never done this back to back, so hopefully we do well here, okay? You got to be with me. Smile, enjoy. Take a deep breath, Sean. Okay, there we go. How many of you here this morning sleep with white noise? You sleep. Come on, everybody. All my people, raise your hands. Yeah, absolutely. White noise in the house. It might be a machine, it might be a fan, whatever it is, but you love white noise. Yes, I love white noise. And so when my wife and I got married, we took our first position in Chicagoland area, and I'm telling you something, we grew up in rural America, and mine was way more rural than hers. I grew up with like 750 people in my town. I thought it was like 1,500 people, and then my wife came to visit, like we were dating, she's like, I thought you told me your town's like 1,500. I'm like, I think it is. She's like, the sign says 750, Sean. I'm like, wow, it's smaller than I thought. Yeah, everybody knew everybody. And I moved in, and my family, we've lived there ever since I moved there. At 2 years old, my parents moved this in, and we're still outsiders. And so it is small town America. And so I remember moving into the Chicagoland area, the west suburbs, my wife and I there for about 5 years. And I'm telling you something, sleeping at night in the city, little different than rural America, folks. Oh my goodness. Or should I say holy smokes? Holy smokes. Like it was crazy. And I'll never forget like our first month there thinking to myself, I staring at the wall, looking at Shelly like, I don't think I'm ever getting to sleep. If I hear one more siren, alarm, police officer, car, noise, radios, do people ever stop flying? I mean, good night. I'm not counting sheep. I'm counting airplanes. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my goodness, it's just so noisy. Almost impossible. All of these sounds completely interrupting my peace. And I'm not liking it. Waking up tired, hard to do my job. I mean, it's difficult, folks. Not really, not that bad. But loud, very loud. Then we moved to Jerseyville, Illinois, which a lot of you are familiar with Jerseyville. We were there youth pastors for about 6 years. And I'll never forget. Feels like yesterday. It's crazy that I remember these things. It feels like yesterday. Still remember, I mean, laying there staring at the ceiling thinking to myself, can it get any quieter? Like, oh my goodness. Like, the lack of noise is killing me here. I need some noise. I need some peace. I need something to put me to sleep. Like, where are the planes? Where are the people? Where are the car alarms? And then just about at that point, it's like all of the bugs grabbed an instrument and began to sing. And then I was like, whoa, like what's going on? Like my head is spinning here. Like it is so loud. And it was about 2 years into Jerseyville that we had our first son, Nathaniel. He's now 10 years old. And we're shopping at Target and clicking on things. So we hope to get this and get that, all that stuff. And my wife introduced me to the sound machine. And there was a routine, a crazy routine, and my wife created for all three of us. And so, you know, like, you know, put them to bed and rock them, and we turned that sound machine on, and it was like music to my ears. Like all of the distractions, all of the outside noise, all of the things that you don't, and I'd rock my son, and I'd find myself just falling asleep, like to this heavenly melody. You know, turning everything off in the background. I'm like, this is wonderful. Where has this been my whole life? Right? So now if you walk into my house, folks, I'm telling you, you will hear white noise, brown noise, blue noise, pink noise, yellow noise. We got so much noise we've created. It's crazy. I mean, if we had a fire and the fire alarm went off, there's no way you would ever hear the fire alarm because the white noise has completely destroyed it. And so now, like when we go to Grandma and Grandpa's house, it was rough at first. Camping, rough at first. Hotels, rough at first. But do you know they have an app for white noise? You can take white noise with you, folks. Seriously, pull out your phone. You turn on right now, I might fall asleep on this stage. Right? It is a beautiful thing, right? White noise is a form of sound masking. White noise is a tool that repels sound that you don't want to interrupt you. Those sirens, those neighbors that want to be out all night with their buddies right outside your window. Come on, somebody knows what I'm talking about in this room. For hours, like, do we not get up in the morning and go to work? Come on! But you turn up that white noise and it's like they just disappear. It is a beautiful thing, right? And so we turn it up. Those things that are distracting us, bothering us, coming at us that we don't want to be around, we turn it up. You know, it's interesting that white noise isn't only used to put babies to sleep. They use white noise for a lot of things. If you work in a large office complex of any kind, you walk into a big open room with tons of cubicles, there's companies that can actually come in and pump in, I don't know how they do it, pump in white noise. And so if you're your cubicle trying to make a deal of the year and like four cubicles down, they're like giggling and laughing, ain't bothering you. I mean, you are focused. That white noise has got you zoned in. You are ready to go. If your coworker is in the corner cubicle getting reamed by the boss, you know something crazy is going on. You can't hear a thing. No eavesdropping for you. That white noise has cleared it all, right? When I was in college, I had a mentor that I met with on a weekly basis, and his office was where we had all of our classes. And so this big building and these hallways that had like, you know, tile, and it was sort of loud when anybody would walk in there, and just the noise of students and all that kind of good stuff. And so whenever we'd be in his office and we'd be talking about something that we didn't want to get out or we didn't want to be interrupted, he would take this little machine and he would put it next to his door and he would turn it on, and it was a white noise machine, and it would flood out all of the noise coming on the outside of that door or the noise that was in here. We didn't want to go out there. It protected us or kept that noise from going anywhere else. White noise masked the sound you don't want to hear. Audio isn't just the only way of white noise. There's all different kinds of white noise, but one of my favorites is this. Every other year, we go to my mom and dad's house for Christmas in Michigan. This year, my kids loved it because there's like 15 inches of snow on the ground. It was awesome. My parents are actually traveling through. My sister lives in Springfield, Missouri. They'll be here next weekend, and they were leaving Thursday morning to go to Springfield, Missouri. When they left their house, it was 15 inches of snow. When they got to St. Louis, it was 60 degrees. I'm like, Mom, I don't know why you guys still live up there. Like, you need to move. And all that kind of good stuff. But I'll never forget, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, we spent Christmas in Brants with my mom and my sister and her family, and everyone had their own condo, and we're in this lodge. The unfortunate part is like half of them had the flu, right? Nathaniel, I didn't. I mean, everybody mustered up enough strength to open up presents on Christmas morning, and then everybody went their own ways, kind of deal, puking their own ways. And so Nathaniel and I said, see ya. We went outside, did some hiking, walked around, saw this, saw that, all that kind of good stuff. And we spent 3 or 4 hours just enjoying, you know, Christmas Day in the sunshine. And so then when we got back, I said, hey, I'm going to go to Grandma and Grandpa's. Why don't you go back? I'm going to go see how they're doing. He said, all right, cool. I'll see you in a little bit. And so it was about 30 minutes later, I went back to our cabin and opened the door. And I walk in, and Shelly asked me this question. She says, do you smell that? And I'm like, and she's got like this smile on her face. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, and I just get excited. I'm like, my eyes, I'm like smiling. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Nathaniel, you have BO, buddy. Like, you smell. This is awesome. Right? I'm having this dad moment with my son. Like, we're growing up. Next week we'll be shaving. Woo! Right? He's like, what is BO? I'm like, smell. You smell that? That's you, man. That is you. Right? So white noise, it's like a deodorant for unwanted smells. So we went out and bought Nathaniel some white noise deodorant so we could block that unwanted smell that nobody wants. And I'm telling you, that boy's got it. I never say it in here while he's in here, but yeah. Right? So what do we mask? What do we use to mask unwanted emotions, though? What do we use to mask unwanted emotions? We all use a type of white noise to mask unwanted emotions. For example, right, you might have to reach back into a few years, right? But you remember when you had to take a test, or a test was coming up? When you have this test coming up, what happens, right? All these emotions begin to come to the surface. And what is it that you do? Like the emotion of fear, the emotion of stress, the emotion of anxiety. This test brings unwanted emotions. And so you sit down and you get ready to study. You got all of your material out. And what happens? You do everything but study, right? You do everything but study. I mean, you go clean your room. And your mom's like, what in the world has gotten into this boy? He's cleaning his room. Right? You clean your room, you clean the garage, you start taking out the trash. Men, you even pick up the honey-do list and start working on that bad boy. Right? You get on Facebook because you're like, I remember at one point a friend like a few weeks ago said something about this test or this video or this cheat sheet thing, and you start scrolling through, and all of a sudden you get distracted, and now you're refinancing your house because some ad that you've seen, right? Or you go to that email box you haven't opened up in months, and there's like 15,000 emails in it, and you're like, you know what? This is a good time to start cleaning the email. But you never, ever, ever, ever start studying because of the emotions that surface, because of the emotions of studying and that test. You're like, I'm just going to continue to do some other things and push those emotions further, further, further down. I mean, there's a lot of examples of this, isn't there? I mean, tons. We come up with a whole list. We could spend all morning, but let me give you just a few examples, right? How about this one? I mean, this is one we used to mask our emotions, right? How about this? TV, right? TV. And some of you are like, kids are like, what? TV? Now, let me help you out here. the Netflix binge. Right? We don't watch just an episode anymore. We watch the whole season. And Netflix, they're so nice to us. I mean, so nice to us. They even give us, like, in between seasons, you have approximately 10 seconds, and they start counting down. You got a bathroom break. You can get some popcorn or soda and get back at it. Listen, 4 hours go by, no big deal. You're like, oh, my goodness, it's 3 a.m. I've got to get up at 6, right? Yeah, we use this to mask emotions, things we don't want to deal with, talk about, right? I have so much quality time with my wife in front of Netflix. Yeah, you do. Masking those emotions. She starts talking and you're like, oh my goodness, another episode, honey. Yeah, that's how it works in our house. How about this social media, right? Social media. Yeah. How did we ever even have friends without Facebook? Do you remember a day without Facebook, like where we connected and talked to each other and like we had to reach out to each other? Like we did. It was like, you had to ask somebody face-to-face what was going on in their life. You didn't show up, and we're like, it's like now we just pass by each other, and we already know. Why even talk to that person? I know what's going on in your life 100%. No reason to even have a conversation with them. And it's so good flipping through that little Facebook page. Man, look at that family. They have such a clean house. How wonderful. Such a wonderful wife and husband. Their kids are perfect. Oh, my goodness. Like, amazing. Brings so much joy to your life, doesn't it? No, we would all benefit from deleting the Facebook app off our phone every once in a while, right? How about this one? Shopping. And all the ladies said, amen. Hold up, man, I got yours too. Specifically, the Prime. Amazon Prime. Hey, if I can't get it in 2 days, I don't want it. And if I got to get my car to drive to go get it, forget it. I don't even need it. Right? But you've been there, right? Walked in the store, I need just to pick me up. Let me go buy something small. You know what, a rough day at work, flipping. Yeah, you know what, I need that. That's going to help me run better. I'll get that. And it makes you feel better, doesn't it? You feel good inside. Seriously, makes you feel better. How about this one? Here's another thing that we use to mask our emotions. Work. Right? Work. Have you ever felt the emotion of insignificance or inadequacy? You work hard so that you don't have to deal with these emotions. You work hard so you don't have to deal with these emotions. Here's a big one, right? Put it up here. I don't even know where mine's at. Oh, there it is. Let me go get it. Oh, my goodness. Almost lost it. My baby. The phone. Can be such a humongous white noise. It's amazing to me that this little device can connect us to real life situations all around the world so quickly, so fast, yet this is probably the greatest distraction from actually hearing what's really going on in our lives. Hey, this is a crazy stat. Most people swipe, touch, interact with this thing right here on the average of 2,600 times a day. Just set it down and try not to touch it. Yeah. Well, I don't care, though. You can do whatever you want. When we feel an emotion, what don't we want to deal with? When we feel emotion, we just do not want to face. Kid starts talking to you about a situation. Hold up, son. I'm looking at something. Wife starts picking up something, and all of a sudden you're like, we don't even notice it anymore. There's nothing wrong with a phone. There's nothing wrong with work. There's nothing wrong with Netflix. There's nothing wrong with Prime. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. Nothing all at wrong with any of these things. But the danger is, what are they keeping us from? What are they keeping us from? If they get turned up too loud, what do they keep us from? The danger, of course, is that this world, that the world is filling up with people that are incapable of dealing with their own emotions. For so long, we've turned up the white noise, and the result is a generation of people that are not able to deal with their emotions at all. And are we raising a generation that is missing out on having significant relationships because they don't know what to do with their emotions? We've all done it, haven't we? A 2-year-old starts crying. A 3-year-old starts nagging you. teenager begins to complain about something, and we quickly jump. Hey, watch this. Shh. I'm guilty of it. Hey, they've seen Elmo have conflict with Mr. Noodle, but they've never actually successfully walked through a conflict themselves. What happens when they bump into something that makes them feel sad or angry or inadequate? We end up just turning up the white noise. Hey, listen, I think we're all familiar with one of these people that I'm about to describe. And if you're watching it all, obviously we've entitled this series, This Is Us, and we've kind of spun it off of, we've entitled This Is Life, spun it off of This Is Us, the TV show. And I'm going to just talk about three characters, the three main characters. If you've never even watched the show, I promise you, you have a friend that you've walked through with one of these situations. How about this person? In our teens, we had the friend that didn't know what to do with their feelings or their emotions, so they just ate their feelings away. Then we got to college, and our friend didn't know what to do with their feelings or emotions, so they just drank their feelings and their emotions away. And then we were like, man, we're out of high school. Man, we were out of college. We're starting our careers. All this nonsense is over. And then we get into our career, our dream, what we've been working and planning for so many years. And we run into this coworker that doesn't know what to do with their feelings and their emotions. So they just work their feelings and their emotions away. It's like if we're driving in our car, and we begin to hear this noise from our car. And instead of dealing with the noise, we just turn up the radio and ignore that it's even there. So if God really is the perfect Heavenly Father that He says He is, I mean, if He really wants the best for us, if He's created us with all of these emotions and such a large spectrum of emotions, what does He have to say? And I want us to look really at just two small statements, not a lot. I mean, this is so simple. But sometimes it's the simplest things that make the largest changes in our lives, make largest effects in our lives. Just very simple. And Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to be. But Matthew 5 through 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is talking to thousands of people in the Sermon of the Mount, the Beatitudes. And it's an incredible, powerful message. You should go listen to it or go read it. It's incredible. But in 5:8, he says this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Listen, what does this mean? What does this mean to have a pure heart? It's not about right versus wrong. It's not about these things are bad and we need to remove them from our lives. It's not that at all. It's not about keeping all the wrong things out of our hearts. It's not right versus wrong. I would say to you that it's this. It's clarity versus cloudiness. Clarity versus cloudiness. I mean, you've heard the song, and if Pastor Jamie's here, was here, he would actually sing the song to you. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. I can see all the obstacles in my way. Wouldn't it be great if that rang true in our lives? Just one day. God would say, it's possible. I mean, it is possible for peace. Even though there's so much of life zooming past us, emotions and different things and all this happening, there's an opportunity for us to actually have peace. But it starts with a pure heart. It starts with a pure heart. I believe that God wants us to see as He sees, with clarity, not cloudiness. To the degree that we mask our emotions, we remain unable to see what God sees. To the degree we mask our emotions, we remain unable to see what God sees. I mean, you guys know the friend. You have the friend with this amazing life transformation story. I mean, the guy in his 50s, late 50s, late in life, makes this transformation, and everyone wants to ask him the famous question, how did you do it? Like, what happened? I mean, what went on in your life? You are a completely different person. And he says to you, when I finally got sober, I started to see things clearly. And I started to think more clearly. And then I realized, wow, I'm not happy. There's this emotion of unhappiness deep down inside that I had never dealt with. And a result of that, I had a problem. And we would all say that alcohol can impair someone's life. But aren't there some unwanted emotions that we never deal with that also could impair our life? If we would turn down the white noise long enough so that we could actually hear, we might be able to see what's really going on. Have you ever heard there's a term that's kind of popular right now amongst a lot of people, not religious people, and that term is this mindfulness. And it's become very, very popular. A lot of people are enjoying this little word, but mindfulness is the ability to be outside of your thoughts and feelings and observe them without judging them. Like, so to be outside of yourself, not literally, I'm not going weird crazy here, right? But this idea to be outside of your thoughts, right? And to be okay with what you're seeing. Wouldn't that be kind of a good place to be? Because craziness is always going to happen, right? And can we actually have peace even though we have turmoil? Can we have peace even though there's emotions that we don't want to deal with? Can we have peace even though we have emotions and then deal with them and have peace amongst our home, our family, our job, all of these things? One chapter later, Jesus talks about prayer. He says, for those that are pure in heart will see God. Then a chapter later he says, don't pray to be seen, Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. He suggests that we should go into an unseen place where there's an unseen Father, and we should take some time to be quiet and to listen. And for those of you in this room that have a quiet place, and for those of you in this room that practice this and do this, prayer, you know it's what makes you stable. You know it's where God speaks to you intimately. There's conversations that you have with him that are great. Yeah, there's days where it's like, God, where are you at? But then there's moments it's like, man, God, thank you. That is so good. That is so good. It's not easy, I get it. And if I was the one writing the translation, it might read this way. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and get distracted by your phone, by Facebook, by Twitter, by ESPN, by all of the thoughts that are rolling through your head. Our minds are so filled with clutter. Maybe this is why Jesus said this. Reading on, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What's the reward for closing the door and praying? Maybe it's the ability to hear what's really going on. If these are the most common forms of white noise, what then are the unwanted emotions that we are not dealing with? If we turned down the white noise instead of turning it up, what might we hear? I've got some suggestions for you. If we could remove the mask and actually deal with the emotions, what might those emotions be? Maybe anger? I cannot believe he did what he did to me. My life was perfect. Our kids were perfect. Everything was perfect. And I cannot believe what he did. I can't believe what he did, right? And because of that, now you walk in fear. And you're thinking, man, I can't trust anybody. I can't do anything anymore. I can barely get out of my house, right? And then you face this right here, loneliness. And you become so lonely and introverted, and these things and these emotions begin to attack you and go all over you, and you just keep on turning up the white noise because these things get louder and louder and louder and louder, and you're like, you know what, I can't deal with this. Forget it. I'm going to shop. I can't deal with this. I'm going to Netflix. I can't deal with this. I'm going to do this. Whatever it is, I don't know what the emotion is, but you've turned up the white noise so loud. You don't even know why you are what you are anymore. I mean, this one's the worst, isn't it? Pain. I mean, have you ever experienced something that is so painful you can't even bear to process it? We walk through life with this volume in the background, and then we wonder why we don't have any clarity, why we don't have any peace, why we don't have any freedom, because we are afraid of what it would be like to shut it off. There's potential if we never create space throughout our week to actually take the time to hear. We might never see what God sees. Because we fail to look up and instead to choose to look down, there's potential to completely miss it. We need to deal with our emotions before our emotions deal with us. We need to deal with our emotions. We need to deal with the noise before your emotional noise wreaks havoc in your marriage, in your finances, in your kids, in your schools. I mean, you've experienced the shrapnel of emotional explosion, haven't you? A dad that never dealt with his anger, a mom that never dealt with her inadequacy, a friend that has never dealt with the loneliness, or a student chooses never ever to deal with his anger. Eventually, it affects all of us. Casey, if you'd come up again. Three things, simple things, that I want to encourage you to do. Because we get there's white noise there. And we get that we're using things to mask emotions that we need to deal with. And if we don't deal with those emotions, unfortunately, the things in the news feeds that we see on our phone will never stop happening. So the first one is this. It's so easy. Identify your white noise. Be honest. Say it out loud. Tell your life group. Come tell me. Say it out loud. What is your white noise? Identify it. Is it Netflix? Is it shopping? Is it whatever it might? Is it work? Is it alcohol? What is your white noise? Identify your white noise. And then experiment with it. Yeah. I know this might be scary. I know this might be difficult. You might have a hard time doing this, but you can trust God. You can trust Him. I mean, He has peace for you. He has wholeness for you. He has healing for you. He has peace in the midst of your turmoil. You can have it. I promise you can trust Him. Experiment with it. Turn it off. Turn it off. Hey, this is crazy. I mean, this is crazy. There's a modem in your house. One day a week, just say to the whole family, on Mondays or Sundays or whatever day it is, we're going to turn off the modem. Ain't nobody got internet now. Take 2 hours. Turn off all of the distractions. And you'd be amazed. At night, before everyone goes to bed, your whole family. Everybody goes to bed in my house around 9 o'clock, not me or my wife, but my kids. So sometimes at 8 o'clock, you know what we do? Everybody put their tennis shoes on, we're going for a walk. You'd be amazed at the conversations that you have with your sons and your daughters. We have a generation of people, of young people, that need us to help them navigate through their emotions. And we need to help them turn off the white noise. And if we don't, your phone will continue to bother you with events that you don't want to see. Turn it off. Most importantly, look up. Look up. And when you look up, listen. Go into that place, that room, that quiet place. And I know sometimes it's hard to find that. I get it. I mean, you could put a door on your sign, let everybody know, quiet time, I got it, it's here. You need it. Without it, the reward that God so desperately wants to give you, you will never have. If you don't stop and look up and listen. Listen, we have a God that says that he will be with you, that he'll walk with you, that he is interested in every step. He knows where you're at. He's not confused by that, but he is not going to bombard or push his way into your situation. You're going to have to look up. And when you do, just surrender. God, I give you my white noise. I don't know what's going on, but I've been masking. And I've not been dealing with the emotions of my marriage. I've not been dealing with the emotions of my finance. I've not been dealing with the emotions of my teenagers. I've been not been dealing with my emotions, the work. And I have been pushing those things down, down, down. And I want to create space in my life this week to look up and to listen. I'll never forget when I was about 12 years old. I mean, the emotions were wreaking havoc in my family. I mean, wreaking havoc. And it was a lot of emotions that my parents had never dealt with. And they were like destroying our home. I mean, destroying it. I mean, my father was suicidal, attempted suicide. Praise the Lord, it didn't work. Should have worked. I don't even know why he's alive today. And in that process, I'll never forget, my parents made the best decision ever. And that decision has forever affected my life. That decision has forever affected my kids' life, their grandchildren. They decided to turn the white noise down and deal with the emotions that were buried so deep. And I'll never forget, and I shared this with the men yesterday morning. We had such a great time as men yesterday morning. God is doing some amazing thing in the men of this church. You know, I told them, I'm so thankful I'm part of a church where men actually want to live for God. That's so awesome. And I get it, it's you know, like crazy that I even said that, but I'm telling you, that's not normal. I love it. But I'll never forget in the havoc of that emotion, my father surrendering. And one of the things that he did is he came to me and he said, he looked at me and he's a big dude and like he could still pick me up and throw me, or at least I still let him think that, all right? And so he still picked me up and throw me. He's just a big mechanic, worked on machinery his whole life, all that kind of good stuff. And I'll never forget, because I've never seen my father do this, but with tears in his eyes, he said, John, you're never too big of a man to cry. You're never too big of a man to cry, and don't ever be afraid to go to someone and tell them what you're dealing with. He made a decision to turn down the volume of the white noise and deal with his emotions. Listen, it's not just Florida's problem. It's just not those parents' problem. It's not just the men and women that are getting in uniform every single week. It's not just their problem. It is the church's problem. We need to deal with our emotions before our emotions deal with us. And so we're about to sing a song. If you'd stand with me this morning as we close. And this morning, I don't want this to be just a song of prayer, which I want it to be that. And if you have things that you need to deal with, I would encourage you to just lift your hands to God and say, God, here I am. Speak to me. And if you've never started a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I would encourage you. It is so easy, so simple. It's not a big deal. Just look up and say, God, I want to surrender. Be God in my life. And just do this. This week, find some space where you can close the door and get back in that room and say, God, here I am again. What do you have for me? I surrender. Be Lord of every emotion, every thought, every concern, everything I'm dealing with. I want peace. I want the reward that only you can give. And so this morning, now let's not make this song just a prayer, but let's make it a declaration. This church will stop looking down and we'll start looking up. Amen? Sing this with me this morning.
All the worries of this